Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, the news today centers around Jordan Schultz's report. He says that the Chiefs are expected to designate Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Minnehue to return. Now, what does that actually mean? It means a 21-day window is going to open up. They could play in the next week. It could be three more weeks, though, before they play. But it's a great step in the right direction. We're going to talk more about this with Nate Taylor here in about 5 minutes or so, our Chiefs insider.
Next up on What's Trending, Bobby Witt Jr. was officially named an MVP finalist yesterday, which is going to come back with a comp pick for the Royals because they did not sit him in the minor leagues in the early stage. Just long in the first few years, you finish as a finalist for the MVP, you get one of those Series A comp picks, which means the Royals will have two picks in the top 40,
nice.
Three in the top 60 because they got a competitive. They actually traded one, or they'd have three in the top 40. You remember in the last calendar year. Q, Cotrero was named a Manager of the Year finalist, and Seth Lugo, a Cy Young finalist for the Royals. Not a shocker.
No.
The Royals went from 58 wins to a playoff team. I'm not surprised to find out they got an MVP finalist, a manager finalist, and a Cy Young finalist. Those are the kind of things that have to happen for you to win that many games.
No doubt. No doubt. We're going to talk more about what one of those represents, I think, for the future with the Royals in particular. No, it's not Bobby Witt Jr. It actually is one of the other two. We'll explain that in a second. Next up on What's Trending, some movement in Chicago with the Bears organization. We were talking yesterday about the Bears organization typically doesn't fire a head coach midseason, but they'll fire a coordinator. They did last year. They just did it again. Shane Waldron out as the Bears offensive coordinator. He had come over from Seattle. Last year, they fired their OC, who then was the OC in Vegas this year, who already got fired as well. Maybe, just maybe, Cody, maybe just
might
maybe
be the head coach.
Might be the head coach is a problem, not just the scapegoat OC, although the Waldron hire, didn't like it in the offseason. We talked about it at the time. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to pair up with Caleb Williams.
No, it didn't. And he is certainly, and their offensive design team is certainly part of the problem. But Eberflus is the people putting these guys in charge, so what can you say? Next up on What's Trending, speaking of finalists, Tembo Chiwenga is a finalist for the NWSL MVP award over at the, for the KC Current. She's going to win it. She set goal records across the board. She's going to win it. So that's a big news for, obviously, the KC Current. They also had candidates for Midfielder of the Year, including Labonte, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year, Vladoff. And, you know, like, we might make a huge thing about the Royals turnaround. This is one of the single biggest turnarounds in NWSL history, too. Where they went in the table to where they are now, it's a huge swing for the KC Current, who actually play in their semifinal this weekend.
Yeah, they'll play Sunday afternoon out in Orlando against the top seed in the NWSL. Real quick, last one on What's Trending, college basketball. Missouri Tigers get the win against Eastern Washington yesterday, 84-77. And tonight, the Champions Classic.
Ah, it is mid-November.
That is KU against Michigan State. At least it's the early game, 5:30 versus the late one, where sometimes that thing gets started really, really late. So I do like that they're the early game. They already have a win under their belt against top 10 UNC. Why not add another top win against Michigan
State tonight?
Is Duke
Kentucky the other one tonight?
That is. That's the rotation that they got for the Champions Classic. That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. But let's get right back to the Chiefs. We alluded to this during What's Trending about Isaiah Pacheco, Charles Minnehue. Nobody better to talk to about this than our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, Nate Taylor. Usually joins us in the 1 o'clock hour on a Tuesday. So no, you're not messing up your day or anything like that. This is just a one-off here. It's good to have Nate join us at noon. I want to start right there, though, with some reporting out today suggesting Pacheco and Minshew could have their practice window opened up. Is that what you're hearing? And is it going to be a full 21 days, you think?
Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas. And I appreciate you guys moving the schedule around for
sure.
me because, yeah, you know, trying to do what I guess the kids call, you know, work.
overrated.
Overrated, oh, easily. Mm-hmm. So here's what I think. Yes, they're going to open up the practice window for Pacheco, for Minshew, but I want to temper a little bit of the enthusiasm. Do not expect either one of these players to play against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday unless they have amazing practice weeks or something that we not, you know, that we can't foresee happens in the work week in terms of practice. Like, you know, if something was to happen to, like, I mean, obviously we don't want this, but if something were to happen to Kareem Hunt, right? Or if Mike Dana suffered or, you know, a setback with his own, you know, list of injuries, and that's, I believe, calf, hamstring, pectoral muscle. Mike Dana's really been gutting it out, which is why his reduction is obviously, you know, tapered off a bit because he is playing hurt. But one of the reasons is because you don't have a Minshew and you just traded for Joshua Uche, who, you know, is still got his head in the playbook, right? So I think it's a great sign that both guys are definitely coming back, that they're definitely going to be around Thanksgiving when the season gets really real and you're now in the sprint for the one seed, of course. But I do think them being a part of this week in practice, whether that's, hey, you're doing more stuff on scout team, or hey, you're just trying to give guys different looks while also building up your conditioning, your football shape, your rhythm, your timing with your teammates, it does hold them from what I believe is the first of two matchups this year, right? The Chiefs are likely going to have to play either the Baltimore Ravens or the Buffalo Bills a second time to get to the Super Bowl. So in either case, neither one of those teams will have seen Charles Minshew, who might be the Chiefs' second or third best pass rusher on pure pass downs. And also, you know, Pacheco has only played basically seven quarters of football, because I think he got hurt in the fourth quarter against Cincinnati. You know, but he should have relatively fresh legs if he's rehabbed well, and his knee and his, you know, basically everything in the lower body, knee, obviously the fibula, which was broken, the ankle, if everything is structurally sound, then obviously he should be at his best when obviously, you know, real football matters, which is running between the tackles, trying to break tackles in the open field when the other team knows you're running the football, when you pair him along with Kareem Hunt. So it's exciting, but I don't think we'll see either one of them in uniform on Sunday.
I've been asked a question, so I'll pass it along to you, Nate. Did you view the performance from Kareem Hunt this previous week as just maybe like, you know, from the rushing attack? Is that just like the wall finally coming for a player who essentially had no training camp, or just Denver did a good job stopping him in the rush, you know, the run defense?
Yes.
Little both.
It is yes. I think here's what I honestly believe, because what we saw the week before was Baltimore figuring out, oh, if we just give the ball to Derrick Henry, like, a bunch of times, they literally can't stop him. And, oh, by the way, here's the more speedy option of Lamar Hunt. So I think to the question that's been passed from you to me, I think the true answer is yes, he finally hit the wall because he had the least amount of time to rest and get ready for this game. And that goes along with all the Chiefs, right? Their schedule is such a hodgepodge of nonsense when you look at it, because obviously they are the, you know, they are the NFL's darling. They're going to be in every time zone this season, except for the international one, because they did that last year. So think about this from Kareem Hunt's standpoint. No training camp. They've been giving you the load. Hey, man, our quarterback's ankle's kind of jacked up. We're going to hand you the ball a ton in the second half. And, oh, by the way, it's overtime. Guess what, my friend? You're getting the ball again. So for everything that Kareem Hunt has done, that game, and really you could start to, quote-unquote, rest your body at, like, midnight Tuesday morning, and all of a sudden you're playing Sunday at noon, and Denver's a good defense.
Yeah.
Despite them getting exposed by Baltimore last week, you could tell that they were like, okay, we're going to improve here. We're not going to let the Chiefs run the ball. We're going to make an emphasis on, you know, trying to game tackle Kareem Hunt, which I thought they did a very good job with. And obviously we saw in the game, Kareem Hunt's like, man, this is tiring. And, oh, man, I'm a little, you know, I got a little nick, you know, in my lower body because he came out of the game in the first quarter, came back into the game somewhere midway in the second quarter when things were getting even more chaotic because obviously you have the switch at left tackle. So, no, I think it's more to do with Kareem's body and just the burden they've put upon him with and by the way, I now understand why they did that, right? Because I was questioning, too, like, man, you guys are giving Kareem a lot of carries. Well, Samaje's your third down back. So, okay, fine. You could give him the occasional carry, but the reason they've done that is because, man, it's hard being a rookie in this league. And yeah. Carson Steele's head was spinning on Sunday, kids. I cannot express that more plainly. Like, I think Vance Joseph put two rookies in absolute hell on Sunday, and that was Carson Steele and Kingsley Suamataia. Because even when Kingsley was like, hey, I'm getting chip hell, what y'all doing? Like, what is the defensive line doing? Like, they're moving. They're like, okay, one time he's at the five tech, then he's at the wide, it's not a wide nine. It's like, damn, I haven't seen that in a while. And it's just, you know, your head spinning. Now you got blitzes coming to the point, I think, you know, the Broncos got a little blitz happy in the second half. But, hey, it's understandable. It's a rookie left tackle, and Patrick Mahomes is screaming at Carson Steele in front of 70,000 people because he's like, hey, man, they're blitzing. So with everything that's gone on, now you get more understanding as to why Wanya Morris has been on the field and why Kareem Hunt has literally not come off the field unless he needs an absolute, hey, give me just one snap to get some Gatorade in me, and guess what? You're going right back out there.
We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Okay, you mentioned Wanya Morris. You mentioned Kingsley Suamataia there. We saw it played out. I mean, you and I were both there. It looked like walking to limping to the locker room for Wanya. I didn't think he was coming back in that football game. Then he comes back out to start the second half. He's at least getting taped up or whatever, and ultimately comes back in the game later. He clearly is the best option at left tackle that they have. It makes it mind-boggling how Kingsley won the job, Nate, out of training camp. Like, how does that happen?
Okay, here's how it happens, kids. I think Wanya Morris is a human being who is a second-year player who realizes, hey, man, I just went through a 20-game season. I'm going to have to pace myself. Hey, like, I don't need to go balls to the walls. And look, I think the personnel staff, the front office, and the coaching staff were convinced that if we give Kingsley every opportunity, every rep possible in training camp and in the preseason, we will get him up to speed as fast as possible to be a starting left tackle. Now, I want to remind people this. If you walked into the locker room, the same locker room you and I walked into, Alex, you would look at both of these men and say, one of them is a left tackle and one of them isn't. And the one who looks like a left tackle is Kingsley Suamataia. You stand next to him and you're like, oh, yeah, that's a 10-year veteran left tackle who's going to be good, right? Just the look of it. So I think, you know, this happens in scouting all the time. And I don't want to make this seem like Kingsley is a failure, because he's not. But like, hey, man, Vance Joseph's defenses are not Oklahoma's defense, okay? Vance Joseph's, Lou Anarumo's defense is not Utah's defense. Like, there's just so much of a difference between playing in a pass-happy college setting, which is good because it gives you plenty of pass, you know, blocking reps, but it's not replicable at any measure when it comes to the NFL. And when teams understand that they can start to exploit certain things about you, well, guess what? They just ratchet that dial up even more, and all of a sudden, Travis Kelce in the middle of the game is telling Kingsley, hey, man, I'm trying to chip help for you. Or, hey, man, do you know what the – like, do you understand the play? Okay, well, he might line up differently than what we've seen on film, because guess what? Hey, man, that's the NFL, baby. Like, you know, there's film study, and then there's even more things you have to adjust with on the fly based on personnel groupings, who's hurt, who's not. Are they blitzing? Are they not blitzing? What down and distance is it? Oh, my God, he won a pass rushing move this way, so should I overcompensate for that? Well, guess what, kids? Now he's running inside, and you got to wait for that, too. Playing left tackle in the league is so hard because there's just so much space out there. I remember talking to Mitchell Schwartz about how he thinks he could have done it in his career, but thank God he didn't have to do it because, you know, hey, I'm a really good right tackle. I don't have to do this. So if you look at both guys, the reason why this happened is you invested a second-round pick and the guy looks the part. And there's just it's hard to get away from that from a scouting standpoint and even from a coaching standpoint. He's super-duper smart. He made no mistakes in training camp that I can really see visibly. He was one of the best rookie players in the preseason, which, you know, it's something. It's not everything, but it's something. He was a high-graded player in the preseason. And he actually played, I think, pretty well considering the circumstances against the Baltimore Ravens. And then for some reason, in the second quarter of that game against Cincinnati, the wheels literally snapped. I mean, he was – his head was spinning. He lost a little bit of confidence, and he was overmatched physically. And I think that's why they took him out and put in Wanya Morris. Now, Wanya is a player who is suitable, but he's not a – I don't think he's ever going to be an elite left tackle. He can be serviceable, which is all the Chiefs are asking of him. And now they're going to ask him to be serviceable while being hurt when everybody knows he's hurt. And he's dealt with this lower body injury really since training camp. I think that was another reason why there really wasn't a competition in training camp was because Wanya, true to form, was like, hey, I'm a normal human being. I'm going to pace myself. We got 20 games ahead of us. Sure, let the rookie get as many reps as he wants because I know when the real games happen, you know, I need to be prepared both physically and mentally. And there's a difference between training for the draft to get drafted as high as possible versus I know exactly what I need to work on. I know exactly how to schedule my training regimen. And even if I don't work out the same way that I thought I would in like August 7th in training camp, that's okay. I'm a professional. I know what I need to do to get ready for September 5th, right? The season opener. So with all that in mind, I mean, that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah.
And again, if you look at both players, one of those guys should be the left tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs for a decade. And both of those players know that. But for right now, you got to say, hey, Wanya, give us everything you got until literally the wheels fall off. And that may mean you have a higher risk of real injury because of the circumstances that they have to play you. They can't give you a week off, man. So get as much treatment as you can, as much rest as you can, and do the best to make sure that Patrick has a chance to pass the ball downfield, because what we saw against the Denver Broncos was Kingsley gave Patrick Mahomes a chance, a couple of chances to throw the ball deep. Patrick don't know when them chances are going to come. And that's got to be weighing on him mentally when you're not sure what you're going to get consistently from the guy who's supposed to be protecting your blind side.
So knowing where they are in that situation, which obviously pretty much anyone in the league would tell you, the tackle play, there's not enough good tackles similar to that as quarterbacks and you where you are.
Yes.
Kingsley cannot play another snap at left tackle this year. This needs to be like a redshirt year, right? Are they like Andy said, he wouldn't say no. He just kind of tossed to Beach. Are they going to call on someone like Donovan Smith? Are they going to ask around in the league? The trade deadline is gone. This man's either got to be on the street or not. But at this point, you can't risk if something happens to Wanya turning it back over.
So here's what I believe, okay? I'm not saying that this is fully reported because obviously the Chiefs don't want to, like, you know, reveal their hand. And I think they're still evaluating things. But this is what I believe based on the information that I have as of right now, fellas. If Wanya Morris gets hurt Sunday against the Buffalo Bills or has a lingering injury that is really, you know, basically compensating his ability to be successful that is revealed against Buffalo or that is revealed next week against the Carolina Panthers, they will call Donovan Smith.
Okay.
So they're close. It's just they're not there yet.
They want to wait and see.
Yes, Donovan Smith is literally breaking case of emergency. And guess what, fellas? We getting close. So for Kingsley, what can we do? Here's what we can do. He really needs to evaluate himself. I think he's actually worked on his upper body strength from when we last saw him in Cincinnati to where we saw him, obviously, Sunday against Denver, which now means, hey, man, it's a whack-a-mole. Hey, we need you to improve your upper body strength because Trey Henderson literally just took your chest and moved it over here, and guess what? Now I have a sack on Patrick Mahomes. Well, he's actually worked a lot to improve that, right? So now the whack-a-mole is, hey, man, the timing and the feet, and that's why everybody criticizes Juwan Taylor. But you know what Juwan Taylor not going to do? I'm not going to lose with my feet, okay? You might beat me with some great, you know, pass rushing moves. And you know what? These are freak athletes, so it happens. But what we not going to do, hey, I will give up 5 yards. What I'm not going to do is get Patrick killed because I didn't jump Steph quick enough or I didn't have the timing as perfect as I can to make it a little bit tricky for the referees, right? You can tell midway through the game the Broncos are like, come on, and the refs are like, I mean, all right, I'll flag him once. And then Juwan's like, okay, the next five snaps, I'll be legal. And then as soon as those five snaps are over, guess what we doing, kids? I ain't losing with defeat. So now, based on the speed of Bonadino against Denver and basically him taking wide nines, wide tens in terms of where he was lining up, it's just like, hey, man, my feet are faster than yours. And that just can't be an issue. You at least have to be awash there so that all of a sudden your punch, your upper body, you can sort of wall the guy off so that he has to go around even further to get to the quarterback. Well, they made it really easy when it's just like, hey, man, I'm rushing from over here. I'm rushing from Clay County, and I'm going to be inside in four steps. And Kingsley's just like, are you freaking kidding me? And so the Chiefs are like, all right, man. Hey, Carson Steele. Hey, Samaje Perine.
Can you chip block him?
And he's like, well, guess what, guys? Now I'm going to be running right through your rookie's chest. And so that the chip help can't even, like, help me. Or it's like, okay, Peyton Hendershot, can you try? And Peyton whiffed, kids. I mean, he whiffed.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So badly. And so they're like, all right, Travis, help the young man out. And it was just a carousel of trying to help this rookie out. So we're in the fourth quarter. Packard just said, stop. Just stop. I'm a drop back, and you know what I'm going to do. Hey, let's get in creation mode. Let's scramble, baby, because I know who's my left tackle. And then all of a sudden they go to Wanya and they say, hey, man, what if we gave you force pills, taped you up, and you gutted it out there for another quarter? And he did it. Okay.
Yeah, it was impressive from Wanya. He deserves more credit than maybe what he's – I think people respect people appreciate him more, of course, now than they did 3 weeks ago. Real quick, though, Nate, you mentioned break glass in case of emergency, Donovan Smith. 100% with you. But I would argue, you know, they can't afford, though, to be in an AFC title game and Wanya gets hurt and they didn't have the option behind him. Like, I don't know if Donovan Smith's willing to come in to be a backup or not. I have no idea, but right. I'd be trying to bring in Donovan Smith to be my backup, put him on the practice squad for a couple weeks and he can become the backup because I need him on game day. If maybe not the regular season, but it's divisional round game. Hell, it's the Super Bowl. Wanya goes down. I can't have Kingsley out there for the second half of an AFC title game.
Unless you're playing the Detroit Lions who have no pass rush.
Okay. That, all right. Well, that's the Super Bowl at least.
Yeah,
right. Why worry about that then, you know?
Yeah, that's the one favorable Super Bowl matchup I've been watching. I was like, well, they play the Lions. I mean, they don't really have anybody who you, like, are terrified of on the NFC side. But you're right. Again, this is, hey, is the emergency after Buffalo? Is the emergency after Carolina? Hey, if we just get to a couple more weeks, Wanya, guess what, man? Our cap space is tight, baby, and you know, we don't have to pay Donovan Smith for 11 weeks. We can pay him for 7 and then the postseason. So, look, there's you're managing money, you're managing egos, you're trying to give young players more experience. There's a lot going on. But, I mean, there's a reason, I'm sure you guys have mentioned this, why Donovan Smith threw up the – and I love Roy Woods Jr., one of the best comedians in the game right now, who just throws up the shrugged shoulders because he's just like, hey, man. Basically, what Donovan Smith told everybody was like, "I'm ready." Like,
I was gonna say, have you heard? Is he? I mean, I don't know if you've talked to an agent or anything. Is he in shape? Football shape? At all?
He's ready. Okay. Oh, boys, guys, he's ready. He did the. Now he's done the wise thing for him because he dealt with the neck, the stinger, the shoulder. Oh, yeah. That's the reason why Wanya played the last like 5 or 6 games of the regular season last year was because, hey man, you're getting old and like. Whether you're Jerick McKinnon or Donovan Smith, you're like, hey, man, call me when the games get real, which is essentially right now, kids. It's November. Guess what? Like, we're back to real football, like games that have stakes where it's cold outside, when there's, you know, when you need smart, competent players to limit your mistakes, right, to limit your exposure to your weaknesses versus trying to attack the other team's weaknesses. That's really what this comes down to. In the second half of the season, just minimize your mistakes, minimize your weaknesses. I mean, I think he's ready. It's going to obviously take him time to acclimate. So I love your point about, like, bringing him on to the practice squad, which is why the practice squad got expanded for veterans to not feel like they have to be rushed onto the field given a circumstance, whatever the team was going through. So, yeah, again, by Thanksgiving, if Donovan Smith's on the team, I'm not surprised. But the next time – I think Chiefs fans should hope to see Kingsley Suamataia is either against the Denver Broncos in the regular season finale when the games won't matter and Carson Wentz is on the field, or maybe the week before because the Chiefs have already wrapped up the one seed. That's probably the next time you want to see Heezy Tuimoloau, and that will actually help him because, hey, let's see if his footwork is better. Let's see if his, you know, reacting to things in the middle of the game is better. There's one thing about a rookie, and I'll say this and get out of here, guys, but there's one thing to say, hey, rookie, be ready. You're one snap away. Hey, next man up mentality, be ready. Hey, man, going through it. Okay, now I get it. Now I really get it because Patrick's screaming at everybody. The Denver Broncos are literally picking on me. And, oh, yeah, I really do need to be ready. It's one thing to be told something. It's another thing to experience it. So if it happens again, okay, let's experience you learning from that experience and getting better if Wanya goes down for a series or a quarter or a half. It's one thing to be told something. It's another thing to go through it. And so I don't want people to get down on Kingsley, but just know that, like, he's not the answer for this season, which means now you are in a developmental year, and he should know exactly what he needs to work on between now and the start of the 2025 season.
I hear you. I love it. But, you know, look, Donovan Smith, you want to make about $600K, get another ring, come on over. Practice for a few weeks, please. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that was the plan. Like, okay, you guys want to start the young kids? Fine. I can just sit here on my couch, chill out, you know, not get physically beat up. And then, hey, if you need me, I'm one call away. And guess what, guys?
Call's getting closer.
We're pretty much here, yeah. And so I totally understand what you're saying, Alex.
I need to be like a horror movie. A call's coming from inside the house. I need to be that close.
There you go. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. He joins us each and every Tuesday. Thanks to Mark Ferguson, attorneys at law right here in Kansas City, specializing in criminal defense, traffic law, DUI, DWI, personal injury in Kansas City since 1996. Yeah,
I don't want to risk it.
Is it bad for me to say that when Nate was talking about, like, hey, depends what happens in Buffalo kind of thing?
What if that happens in week?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, in a weird way, like,
nothing changes.
I kind of, like, if it's going to blow up this weekend, then fine. Blow up this weekend, and it forces him to bring it. That's what it takes. I am terrified, not of Wanya playing. So, I'm terrified that it's AFC title game, first half, Wanya gets rolled up on, and Kingsley's out there for three quarters in the biggest game of his life to get the team to another Super Bowl, and he can't handle the pass rush of Baltimore, let's just say, again, or something like that.
Whoever it is. I'm terrified. Yes. That was one of the worst games I've ever seen. That shook me to my core for a minute.
Up next, let's get back to the Chiefs on a different note, talking more about what this offense might be doing test-wise the rest of the year. And you mentioned Bobby Wood Jr. and some of the award finalists during What's Trending. One thing stood out to me about what the future looks like for this.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Division. Back here on Cody and Gold, thanks again to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, for joining us. He joins us every Tuesday, of course. He's on the station throughout the week. If you miss any of the conversations with Nate, you can check it out on our website and also the Odyssey app. You guys can also just interact with us, as always, on the text line, 913-586-7965. We're streaming up on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, X. Make sure YouTube, make sure you subscribe, please. A little subscribe, a little click of the subscribe, a little like.
Trying to get to 3,000 followers over on YouTube. We're about 250 short.
Would appreciate that. We would appreciate that.
We'd like to give another chance for the people who follow us over on Twitch or YouTube a chance to join us for the fan club again. You know, we did that once. It's a fun time. You know, maybe we can do that again. We usually put that up in the garage sale as well, where your donations give you the chance to do that. So we'll see. I don't have anybody planned for this Friday yet. Maybe you could just follow and I'll just choose someone who's got a free Friday afternoon.
Stop by. I won't be here on Friday. So maybe that makes you more likely to come in. Maybe it makes you less likely. I don't know.
Hmm. It depends on the person.
It depends on the person. I will not be here on Friday. My sister's wedding weekend. I got to finalize the speech. I got to finalize the speech at this rehearsal.
Come on, give us a little taste. What do you got?
No.
All right, is there a joke?
Oh, yeah. I got an opening and a close.
Do you feel good about the joke?
Yeah.
You better feel good.
It doesn't mean anything to me. Correct.
That doesn't matter. I'm not the intended audience.
It's a tie-in to something that happened as a kid or whatever that
are
people
you
in
cry?
The room... I don't think during the speech, no. It's a rehearsal
during
dinner.
Wedding?
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean...
It's your twin sister, yeah. Dude. You guys share DNA? Lots of DNA.
But, like, I don't know. I don't know. But, I mean, I'll be honest, like, at most weddings... There's that moment where obviously, like, when you, I don't know about you, if I see other people crying, I'm likely to tear up.
No, my crying's related to just me.
So, for example,
it's
like,
directly related to my own emotional state.
Like, you don't start to feel like you might, like, if you're at anybody's wedding, let alone it's like your sister's wedding, if you see them, like, in their groom getting emotional, like, I'm more likely to be sitting there and also be like, feeling like I'm about to tear up as well. Yeah.
Do you think you're going to have to field the questions from the Gold family that are like, all right, so the other two siblings are married, Alex.
No, that's part of the joke in the speech.
Are you up?
Oh, that's part of the joke in the speech.
Okay.
At some point, it's not even a joke. At some point, a comment will be made during the speech saying, actually thanking my twin sister that I haven't been asked about it for over a year and a half.
Nice. That's because the engagement helps hold some of that water.
That's working there.
Lean into it. That's smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. That just feels like a thing a family would do. Alex, are you seeing a nice young lady? You know, you got to see those relatives you haven't seen in a while, and you're like, no, not right now.
No, the wedding planning is I've been way off the hook here because they've been all focused in on what's going on with
jackpot.
That for the last, I don't know, what, 16 months or however long it takes.
And now they're going to be, now it's going to be like, when are they having kids? So you probably got another,
I agree.
You probably got another 2 years of runway.
Dude, that's absolutely, that's absolutely the next focus. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're good.
I feel good about where things are going. All right, let's get back to the Chiefs offense for a little bit because the rest of the way, it's up and down in terms of defenses they face, but I think there's plenty of tests to find out, especially with Pacheco news and Aminihou news on the defensive side. We're going to have a better feel. They're going to go up against the number one defense in football in the Chargers at some point. They're going to go up against the second best defense at some point in the Steelers. They're going to go up against the fourth best defense again. In the Broncos.
Who got the better of them, too.
And I know, as you pointed out, they're also facing the Panthers, who are the worst, and the Raiders, who are the second worst.
It's the weirdest. And I mean, I could go through every team. There's no way it lines up like this. They face three of the top four and four of the bottom 10, including two of the worst three in the league defensively. So either they're just going to like score 20 points against everybody and we're going to have really no idea, or what's more likely to happen is they're going to win a lot of games 20-17 and then they're going to score 35 against the Panthers and the Raiders. And you're going to be like, what the hell happened here? Well, what's going on? What's going on with the
NFL? NFL's weird, and it's the opposite. You watch. You watch be the opposite. They'll somehow struggle to score against the Panthers or something in 2 weeks, and they'll actually put up 34 points this Sunday against the Bills. That would also be very Chiefs. Very NFL.
I mean, it doesn't seem out of the question, at least on that end. But it's just like, I feel like it's going to be really hard to get a sense of the Chiefs. Because this is the order. Top 10 ranked defense this week in Buffalo. Worst defense in the league against the Panthers. Third worst defense in the league against the Raiders on a short week. Number one defense in the league. So they'll go from facing two of the worst three defenses in the league to facing the number one defense in the league, points per game wise, in the Chargers. Then they'll face one of the 10 worst in the Browns. Then they'll finish the season with the second and the fourth best defense. Like, what the hell is going on in this schedule? It's like, there's one. There's a single mediocre team on defense. It's the Texans. They're 18th. That's like perfectly fine. That's it. That's the whole system put into place. I'm fascinated because, I'll be honest, I don't think the Chiefs' offense is as bad as it was in the middle of the season last year. But I'm not out here going to bang the table and tell you that they're great either. I'm not here to sow some seed that doesn't exist. They're fine. They're better than most offenses in the NFL, but they are not as good as 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different offenses in the league who are better at consistently performing on those ends. Can getting Juju Smith-Schuster and Kareem Hunt be enough to talk you into it? Maybe.
Or Hunt with Pacheco. Yeah. Hunt with Pacheco. That's what I'm curious
to see. Juju Smith-Schuster, can that talk you into it? Maybe. You know, maybe that swings your mood a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. I also, as someone pointed out on the text line too, as they're going through these opponents, when we were talking about how big this game is on Sunday, it's not just about the short term. Hey, you positioned yourself for the number one seed, but you were joking earlier, I think somewhat about resting Travis Kelce against Carolina.
I'm serious about that.
The stretch of games where they do play in, you know, 4-17 or whatever it is, four games in 17 days or something, that stretch for you to not be impacted as much, obviously the solution is pretty simple. Find a way. Can you get to 10-0, 11-0, 12-0 to where if you do slip up, that's a rough stretch. Can you actually not have to feel the pressure as much in those games? And can you be a little more cautious in those games? Because that is for a few players that are a little bit older, even though it's a very young roster overall, that's a lot of games in a short period of time. Whereas if this team were to drop a few, then those games become like must win to keep the one seed. Whereas if you can rattle off, including against Buffalo, then it takes just stress off of a must win game against Pittsburgh, let's say on Christmas Day. Assuming Pittsburgh is still winning at a
Pittsburgh
high level.
Pittsburgh could lose this weekend.
I agree.
And then the Ravens could be three games back with no tiebreaker against the Chiefs. The Steelers could, like, I mean, right now, there's a chance this weekend the Chiefs could be at least three games clear of every team for the number one seed in the loss column and have the tiebreaker on two of them. It's a massive game. But what you pointed out about the end of the schedule, what stands out about that even more than the other is that, like, not just that they play those teams, which you're right, and play them in close succession, which you're also correct about, it's that those look to be difficult games. Like, I don't know. Look, the Texans, I understand. Like, someone's going to be like, well, they kind of look a little fraudulent right now, which, I don't know, maybe a little, right? Not like saying they look like...
They definitely don't look like the team that I, and I think a lot of people thought, which was, hey, they're going to, like, maybe an AFC title game. They don't look anywhere like that.
No,
we thought they'd be in the race to win the one seed.
But will I reserve the right to change my mind on that when they get Nico Collins back? I will.
Well, let's find
out. He was the NFL's leading wide receiver before he went down. I'm not going to just completely dismiss that. But the idea that Texans, a playoff team, right? They're going to be a playoff team. We all think they're going to win the division. So Texans, a division winner. The Steelers, a potential division winner, and the team who just gave you maybe the ugliest fight of the entire year in Denver. I mean, that, and look, think of the Browns before that. That's that three-game stretch. That's kind of a brutal run.
That might be that game where, I guess, call it a trap game if you want to, but that's the one game I think that, because the Panthers, I think, obviously is one of,
you can't get trapped by a team
I think
sticks that bad.
The Browns, I think, if the defense turns up, you got Myles Garrett on the other side with the left tackle problem.
Yeah.
Who knows? I do think one. I don't know if you might hate me for this, I guess, in the text line as well, but maybe them not going undefeated, to your point, Gold, a little bit, actually is the best thing for them, because it allows you to focus on getting them healthy, and maybe it allows you to just say, you know what? We're 13-0. You want to play everybody and you want to go undefeated. Or if you're 12-2 in week 15, you're like, you know what? We need to rest a couple guys because we have to make sure that they're ready to go.
Sure, I just don't want them to lose this one.
I don't know if it's like a blessing in disguise for them, but just looking at that, I don't know. That might be something that actually helps them come January.
Yeah,
exactly.
Two full weeks off.
Yeah, like what I meant by that is, like, if they have enough wins in their back pocket before that stretch enters, there's not the pressure of feeling like you have to win all of those
to
get the 2 week break. I'm not saying that it's a good, because then typically I'm way against the, oh, it's good to get the loss out of the way. Screw that. I know that's not totally what you're saying, but like that I disagree with. My thought was more of, hey, if they can beat Buffalo, they get the 10-0, beat the Panthers 11-0, then that stretch of games, hopefully in December, four games in 17 days or whatever, hopefully that stretch does not feel as high stress.
By the way, if you're curious who you're voting for, you're rooting for the Ravens to beat the Steelers this weekend. Get yourself three games clear of everyone. You already got the tiebreaker against the
Ravens. I'm also curious who you're voting for. Yeah.
It's too late. I already did that.
Too late. Anyway.
Who I'm voting for in the future?
Yeah.
I don't have any decisions made.
Already looked into that? Okay. Just checking.
I do think if they have the one seed wrapped up and then you get into that three game stretch where, you know what? Is it worth getting the undefeated season and having that?
But if they're undefeated, they're going to go for it. But if they lose one against the Browns, yeah, I don't care.
Because I wonder,
the one seed's locked up.
Obviously, it's hindsight, and you don't know. But you think, okay, if it's undefeated, we're going to keep going. Is it worth it trying to chase that, or making sure that when we hit January 5th or January 12th or January 19th, and we're in the AFC title game, whatever it is, that we have everybody that we can fully healthy?
The Bills really are the only team competing for the one seed, right? You guys have looked at the Steelers' schedule, right?
No, I mean, the minute the Ravens lost again, I thought this was a two-horse race. We discussed. That's why we haven't been mentioning the Steelers' name. None of they keep winning.
Ravens, Bengals. They got to face the Browns twice, which they
still haven't played one division game yet.
Eagles, the Ravens again, the Chiefs, and Cincinnati. They got Cincy twice, the Browns twice.
They haven't played the Ravens twice.
Yeah, what the hell is going on with their schedule?
Very weird.
That looks like a 13-win team, 12-win team.
At best, probably, too.
We'll see, but I don't think it's getting any higher than that. Okay. At least not at the moment.
Because what are they now? 12 or a
6-7-2? Six or a 7-2. They have their bye yet? Anybody know?
I don't know.
Who?
Steelers.
8 games, the Chiefs have played 9. No. Or, yes. Right? Wouldn't that be the answer?
Steelers have played 9. They're 7-2. Chiefs
7-2. Okay.
Not which six is 9 two. Is so the least amount you can play.
They have had it.
They both have played 9 games. The Bills have not had their bye week. That's the
They team. Have it after they play Correct. Kansas City this weekend.
Random question.
Hopefully sad after they lose to the Chiefs.
Text line picked up on you, Drew, saying when talking about the Chiefs, they said we've converted you finally. Finally.
Oh, my gosh.
My work here is done.
Hold on. Right
they
above
lost
the text
that game last week, and he's like, good enough.
Finally.
Right above the text, it says, wow, F you, Drew. Okay. I'm right down the middle.
Really right in a mixed boys. Bag there is what you're getting. For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Again, if you want to participate, we check the chats on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook over at the Fan 965, where you can watch us on video. Question I have for you today is interest level. I'll just take a 1 out of 10, and you can just generally describe your interest level in today. I learned today that Target will begin in select stores offering what they're calling Targaritas, which is margaritas you can purchase and then drink while you shop at Target. So the question I have for you today is, what is your interest level in a Targarita as you go shopping? You know, we're all going to have like a Target or wherever as we go Christmas shopping for family and those things.
Yeah.
The question I have for you is, what is your interest level in those, being sold while you shop?
I could see, you're upset. You're going to be at the store for a long time. You're waiting on somebody, significant other, whatever. And you're like, just going to go grab a Targarita. How much are they charging for these? Do we know? No pricing
that
info.
That article did not say.
No flavor info or anything like that. Look, I guess it's worth a shot during the holiday season. I don't know if this would be popular year round, but for the holiday season, I could see there being somebody that's like, I'm not walking around and shopping. You got it. How long? You're going to take an hour and a half? And I have to come with you, fine. I'll sit over here and have a drink.
Hy-Vee's essentially already done this, right? They did those Hy-Vee Market grills where essentially you grab a beer and take it out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you gonna walk into Target, grab a margarita?
Someone is claiming it's made up, but I don't
Is it a fake thing? Let's just assume it's real for the sake. Let's assume it's real. Targaritas. Would you just walk into Target and grab a margarita and then put it in your cup holder and go shop with your kids?
If I were with the kids, I think the answer is no.
Okay.
If we drop the kids off at the in-laws' house to go do some Christmas shopping, and we were going to be doing it for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, yeah, okay.
It's like a one or a two on the scale of 10 for me.
I'll have a margarita while I'm shopping around. What's the difference between that or like going for a stroll? Like if you go for like sometimes if I take my kids for like a walk, they're going to ride their bike down like the path near our house. I'll take a beer with me sometimes. Take a cocktail with
me
in a cup sometimes.
Sometimes they said they shop with beer at Whole Foods because there's the Whole Foods that has the...
Oh, the taps,
The taps.
I'm not against it.
Hold on. Somebody said that a Nebraska Furniture Mart, you can do this currently?
Well, they've got restaurants inside of Nebraska.
Yeah, they have the...
barbecue place.
Yeah. Right? I didn't know that you could just walk around with a beer.
That's right. Did you go there often?
I was there...
A new couch?
Not this past weekend. I was
Are
there
you
on
selling another one on Facebook Marketplace? Let us
what
do that
are
for
we
you.
We trying to get it in Nebraska Furniture Mart.
My wife and I were just looking around. That's all we were doing.
I mean,
it is fun to just
walk around Nebraska Furniture.
Jump on the couches a little bit, relax a little
Jump
bit.
Jump on the couches.
Well, relax, you know.
Someone says.
I will say, there's a beanbag. That's like a beanbag chair. Holy crap, that is the next couch I'm getting.
A beanbag chair? You're 27.
Yeah. I know.
That's kids' furniture.
Is it a true beanbag chair or one of those that are
like love sacks or whatever?
Yes, it is a queen bed inside of a beanbag. Essentially, it's very soft.
I think you need a big place for that kind of thing.
Top floor.
Yeah, is that fitting in an apartment?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. It's probably about this
I will say.
I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
It's one thing to have to like.
It's big though.
It would make for an interesting interaction because it's like not that surprising, right? Like old, like I'm married. So like maybe I don't have to take an Uber. We can save the $30. If I go to a bar and I'm like, I should not drive home. Hey, can you give me a lift? Right. I got kids, a little bit more of a challenge, but certainly my wife has picked me up from the bar after I've had too many beers and I shouldn't drive home. Having to pick up like your wife or your cousin from Target. Because while they were walking around looking at candles, they got loaded. Like, oh, no. That is an embarrassing pickup. That sets up for an embarrassing pickup.
Again, it sounds like this might not be actually happening at Target, but again, we're playing along and saying it is. You know, I feel bad for those that are working at Target. Now they got to deal with a couple of drunk a-holes. Already customers can be jerks during the holiday season. Yeah, everybody's stressed out or whatever, and they take it out on these poor employees. It's awful. I used to work Best Buy retail in high school. And you get somebody's in a terrible mood and is a jerk. Now you're going to give them alcohol inside the store. Oh, this seems like a terrible idea. Mm. The more I think about it.
Somebody said they're 35 and they sit in their beanbag chair while they play the PlayStation.
There you go. There you go.
Sounds like you're setting up your basement like Vinny's. Just for his own personal comfort, with no frills. Not even a coffee table in his basement, he said. So where do you put your drink? On the floor. Like, that, you don't have to live like this.
Correct.
Get an end table.
Not do that. I would not set the drink on the floor, I don't think. But yeah, no, I know. I'm just sitting on the... Look, if you guys go to Nebraska...
Are you going
to
put the beanbag in your living room, just in the corner, so you'll have the couch, and then you'll just have this beanbag?
100%. You can chill and relax in that beanbag chair and be... It's got good support. You feel good sitting in it. It's relaxing.
Does it fit one person, or can you have two people on the beanbag? Can you and your wife both, you know, snuggle up in the beanbag?
They have different sizes of beanbags. You can have two people on there.
Hmm.
Maybe more.
Whoa. Easy.
Who needs three? Unless you have kids, what do you need? Three people on the same beanbag.
Dog? Yeah.
That's a cuddle situation. I'm looking to toss a third into there. That's a whole different thing. Someone from the 816 says, I got drunk and spent $7,000 at Nebraska furniture.
That's an easy dollar amount to spend there. My goodness.
I mean, that's one real nice sectional.
That place is great.
That's where I got my very first ever. Like my first apartment by myself, where like I bought the living
room.
That's
where furniture. Most of my furniture is from. My couch, my bed set, my dresser, my nightstand. It's
got
all
it from
the
clearance
there.
Section.
There you go.
It was two chairs, one with an ottoman and a couch.
Beautiful.
Solid. Worked out great.
It's fun to walk around.
I feel like this would make Target shopping more fun, though. Like it would be more enjoyable. Like, I don't know. Imagining Black Friday, though, I don't know how chaotic it gets in certain places.
Not as bad as it used to be.
Growing up, yes.
Online,
it was insane. Can you imagine the way that, you know, it was 10 years
it's
ago.
It's like people if fist fighting for a TV, dude.
Correct. But if you were drunk, that would be a problem.
Some guy's got four Jack and Cokes ready to take you out on Black Friday.
Yeah, that would be insane.
Yep. Oh, I've definitely lined up way back in the day outside of a retail store at 3 a.m. or whatever when that was a thing.
From the 785, you guys are too good to sit your drinks on the floor.
No, I bought
FM
a nightstand.
FM really hit you different. We've changed.
I bought a nightstand from Five Below for $2 and it sits next to us. That's what I set my drink on.
Just get like $5? Man, that thing's got to be flimsy as hell.
Can you put more than one drink on it?
$2? Yeah.
$2 from Five Below.
Plastic?
Dude, you ought to get on Facebook Marketplace. You could find like a wood side table for $15.
I don't trust Facebook Marketplace.
Well,
again, it's a pretty simple rule. If you're the one selling, you should never have to send the person the money.
That's true. If you're buying it, though, bringing them the money is no big deal.
My thought process is I'm going to just avoid it completely because of what happened. It's almost like an embarrassing thing. If I see Facebook Marketplace, I don't want anything to do with it.
That's fair.
Up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. Let's get back into the stadium conversation. Fesco had some new information on what he's hearing about where the Royals and Chiefs could play. We'll give our reaction to that next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.